Well, hello, Haunters, and welcome to another episode of Haunting the Globe. In this episode, I speak with Brian Foreman, who is the co-owner and operator of Dead Factory Haunted House, located in Mexico, Missouri. The Dead Factory is an 8,000-square-foot, half-hour walk-through in a 12,000-square-foot building. And in this interview, Brian explains a little bit about what it takes to become a professional-level haunter, as well as what you can expect if you are visiting the Dead Factory this year. Let's roll it. Let's start off with the basics. Introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your haunt.
My name is Brian Foreman, and I'm a haunter. I run the Dead Factory Haunted House in Missouri. It's Mexico, Missouri. If you want to type that in Google, so you can come see us, it's 2100 East Liberty, Mexico, Missouri. This is our fifth year haunting. I've been doing it for about 15 years. This is our, well, it's a real second attraction that me and my brother have done. I have a co-owner. It's his property, his building. Me and the brother do all the creative stuff inside. So I teamed up with somebody that had the resources that I didn't have. And that's the only way that I could get started. And we are in Missouri. We have a house of about, well, this year might be close to 50 people. Those won't all be active at the same time because I'm trying to double book my actors and trying to use less actors but more resourceful. So we might have switching out bathroom breaks and stuff. But besides that, let's go back to the story. The Dead Factory is a walk-through haunted house. It's around 8,000 square feet. We're in a 12,000 square foot building, which we plan on adding a second attraction inside next year. When you first pull up, we have a parking lot. That's good sized parking lot. We're working on our lighting and stuff this year. We are working on part of a outdoor queue line. It was all indoor last year, which we had people out the queue line and just wrapped around the parking lot. So we're trying to keep people organized more.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on story-wise from the storyline perspective of your haunt. What are your characters and what are they up to?
The haunt is based around Dr. Phobia. Dr. Phil O'Brien, but phobia is spelt within the word Phil O'Brien. So he is a neuroscientist that works on people's fears and phobias, and the phobias have come alive in the haunted house. The first, I need to measure it, but it's like first 20% is medical themed. And then this year we changed Dr. Phobia. Dr. Phobia used to be about 80% way through the haunt. This year he's about 20%. He's at the very end of the medical area. He's controlling this room. He has a trap door. He has to put on a little skit about brains and how he's going to get into your mind. And he's going to ask you, are you sure you want to walk through my mind? Well, as you leave that room, everything changes to a different theme. It's each room becomes a phobia. So first room is a glow room and then a vortex tunnel, yada, yada, yada. But you'll encounter snakes and dark mazes and torture and clowns and baby dolls. And we have a swamp with a crocodile and large spiders and small spiders, death, destruction, body parts. So each room is themed a different phobia. That kind of allows us to move rooms out and in, change up phobias each year. The medical theme always stays the same, but each room allows us to change up things differently. We might add something big. We might completely revamp a room. But Dr. Phobia's story keeps evolving. This year, we're adding like a projector Our first room is a reception area. You got a set. It's designed like a, it's probably a 12 by 12 reception area. You have to sit down on four chairs. We're going to shoot a video on the other wall, working on Dr. Phobias. It's like a minute story. So that allows my actors to keep the cue line control, because sometimes my actors get carried away, which is good, but they might have a group in there 3 or 4 minutes. Well, we're of a smaller attraction, so our throughput, we can get away with that, except when we're busy. Last two weekends were crazy, so I want to try to tie my cue line with that video and the actor's cue and try to control flow that way. But it allows them to kind of see a story of Dr. Phobia and phobias that they may encounter inside the attraction. And I bought a really cool silicone brain, and I want the doctor, they got to touch the brain, and he's going to be trying to get him to touch the brain. So brains throughout nice. The brains throughout the house. So I'm trying to, all my marketing has brains on it now. So people were kind of getting confused about Dr. Phobia, his story, who is he? So we're trying to bring the brain thing back, kind of highlight it, so you know that he works on brains and he's going to get in your mind. And we had a Scare Factor crew that went through last year, gave us a really, you know, fair score. Some of the things they said, you know, we had really good actors, and for our budget, because we're a low budget house, because me and my brother make a lot of stuff. We've been doing it for years. We use simple scare props, simple techniques, but our actors are, they're good. They jump out. They scare you. People say that we're one of the scariest houses around. I don't know about that, but so the story is really what we're focusing on this year.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it's much cleaner, and it, and I like the premise of essentially you meet Dr. Phobias, and then you're going inside of his mind, and you are going through very popular phobias. It's a good way to incorporate a lot of different elements under one narrative, you know, different popular elements, like common phobias that people face every day, but under the element of going through this doctor and what he studies. I think it's great.
Thanks. Yeah. It was kind of carried over from my home haunt, because Dr. Phobia was my home haunt guy. It was usually me, and I played Dr. Phobia the first 2 years at Dead Factory until it got too big that I needed to become a manager. So I'm trying to secure actors to be Dr. Phobia this year. And we have a rehearsal, another rehearsal September 28th. And then we go live October 4th through, we're going to try the first weekend in November this time, because Halloween falls on a Thursday. Other haunts around are staying open until the first and the second that weekend. So we're going to try that. Reason being, because our last September show was always kind of a slow night, and then October starts picking up. So we're just doing a rehearsal that last Saturday in September, and then we're going live the next weekend. That kind of gives us a week to get everything, all the kinks worked out, and if we need to make any kind of costume changes or whatever, it gives me a week to get all that done. And then that's also going to be our family and friends night. So the actors can invite 10 people. That gives us a crowd to work on. And then it allows them to actually be comfortable with people that they know to help scare and stuff. So
for those visiting your haunt this year, if you were to, I guess, explain in one sentence what makes your haunt unique, what would you say?
In one sentence, huh? All right.
You got one sentence. Think well about it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't narrow anything down to one sentence, Philip. You know that.
I know. Okay. Well, just okay.
All right, I got you. No, I got you. I'll play it. We're good. One sentence. We create an immersive experience based around our love and passion to scare people.
Great. an immersive experience complete with a story and theming. And it sounds like you do a lot of work too to bring that narrative out into the set. I get triggered on the word immersive, because I think it's used interchangeably with different things. You know, it's like immersion is a compilation of like interactive elements, which you have because you have the doctor interacting with people, and theming, which you have, obviously you're building, you know, you're building the facades and you're theming it, and a narrative, which clearly there's a narrative there, and that narrative is put throughout the experience. So it's like a combination of items.
Yeah, we do the rotten scents and the hospital smells, and each room has its own sound effects and soundtrack. So when you walk through the swamp, you're actually walking through a swamp. You know, you walk through the hospital, you're actually doing it. We believe in, because we're so OCD there that everything is, you know, as haunters are, that we think that it's got to be the best detail, which it doesn't. I mean, it does, but some of the stuff people never even see. But for us, we feel the actors get more involved when it's more realistic, and the customers get more involved, even though they can't see everything. To me, it's almost like there's a feeling there in that room. You know, people walk through ours without anybody in it, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. You know, so we believe in the complete package deal. And that's what I knew that I needed story. And it's so hard to incorporate, though. You try to, you know, until the review team came through, thank you, Scare Factor. I always knew it needed more, but it's so hard to put stuff in there where people can actually see it and understand it. And I've been wanting to put which Leonard Pickle texted me the other day, and it was one of his suggestions as well. Before each phobia, have like a sign, whether it glows and, you know, it's glow pain or whatever. And that would be the name of the phobia before you walk in. So your mind's already kicking like, oh hell, here come the clowns or whatever, you know, and it's that way, you know, kind of incorporate each phobia into Dr. Phobia and how, you know, each. So we might try that, you know, now the next year or so, but our main focus next year will be a new attraction with a whole new story. I've kind of let it out of the bag, but I'm not ready to do that. So I'm still kicking around some ideas, Philip.
That's fine. It's okay. So quickly, let's recap some of the details for those listening that are thinking of attending this year. You open October 4th and you're going through the first weekend in November. How long is the experience? How much are tickets? And do you have any other tips for guests that are coming for the first time?
Okay. Guests coming for the first time. We're working on our signage. We have signs and stuff by the row, but people are having a hard time because we're behind a building. There's a gravel driveway on the left-hand side, but we're going to have more signs and stuff up this year. It's $20, and it's that's across the board, child, adult, $20. We offer monster shields, which are $5, which is a green glow necklace, and that gives you a less scare experience, because we had a lot of scaredy cats requesting something. The glow, we call them monster shields, protect you from the monsters. The walkthrough is about 25 minutes. This year it could be about 30. We did some stuff. We haven't really timed it yet, but at least 25 minute walkthrough. We have free parking. You can get tickets online, deadfactory.com. You can buy them at the door. We take credit cards, debit, cash, of course.
And is there parking available on site?
Yes. Yeah, we noticed that we might need parking attendants this year because things are getting a little crazy now. So,
do you recommend that people purchase tickets ahead of time online, or they wait till they show up at the box office?
Either way, I mean, we don't offer any discounts either way. It kind of saves you, maybe a minute or two just to have it on your phone and just pop, for us to scan it, give you a wristband, send you inside. Until we get to that point where we're so many people that we might have to open up a second window, and that might be possible. We do get a lot of online sales, and we do have coupons out there. Our main sponsor is Dugout Bar and Grill here in Mexico. So you can get coupons there for $3 off.
And a few last questions here about, it looks like you are open 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Is that correct?
Yep.
And the nights that you're open, when you say 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., does that mean that we can show up at 11 and still get into the haunt? Like, is that when you close, or how when's your last run that you do of the evening?
Yeah, the ticket booth shuts down at 11. Now, we have had people stroll up, 11:05, and it's like, all right, but it gives us time to get the last group down, because if it's 25-minute walkthrough and we got, so many groups to go, we still may not be out there until 12:30. So, 11 o'clock, we shut down the ticket booth. You don't think about it, but you got to do a lot of stuff to shut down the haunt.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So I think we have a good idea of the details. So basically you're open those weekends from October 4th to November, first weekend in November, and $20 ticket, depending on if you want a Monster Shield or not. And it's about 25-30 minute walkthrough, accepting any form of payments, parking available on site. And as long as you get your ticket by 11 p.m., you will be able to make it through the experience.
Yes.
Great. The last thing I want to know in this section of the interview is I want to hear two of your favorite stories regarding the haunt. So these can be favorite stories from guest interactions, or they can be favorite stories from cast members, or something that happened at the attraction, maybe while you were building, or et cetera. But I want to hear two of your favorite stories about this.
One of them would be when we had a local DJ that we paid him to be out there, but he came through with his they just had a mic, they had a microphone, and we got him going through the haunt as people were scaring him, and so we got all that live, and I still have that footage, that audio, that I need to turn into a commercial, because a lot of people know him, and just seeing his reaction and being on the air and the radio and everything, it was kind of like, it was kind of cool, because he was, he was saying that we were the scariest haunted house in Missouri and this and that. It kind of validated, we do have something scary going on here. I think it was the first or second year. And another one was anybody that comes, home haunters or other haunters from other attractions that come up to me, when they get there, some people know me from the podcast. Some people know me just from being in the industry for so long. So it's like they come and see it, and then they think it's good. Then I'm like, cause you never know. I mean, I don't like to brag about it. It's like we just do what we do, and if it works, it works. If not, we try to change it. But when people say, people that know what they're talking about come through, it goes with the review group as well. It's like, okay, all right. So I'm a perfectionist, so it's like nothing's ever really done.
Yeah, but it's still great to get that feedback from people.
Yeah, it is. So that's validating, and that any memory like that is gold.
Can you paint a picture for me of a time when you saw the perfect guest experience at the Dead Factory?
We had a wedding group come through, and they had a really good time. Usually we try to incorporate birthdays and bachelorette parties and stuff like that. They're celebrating, we might say their name, or we might give them a little unique experience or something. But, sometimes Dr. Phoebe will follow them all the way around there, pop out. And so anything, we do those moments with people, right? The the small moments that people remember. We've had people that have wandered off, behind the scenes, and we'll take them with us and, you know, show them a little bit behind the scenes. And then we'll, you know, then they'll post it on Facebook. Can't believe that I was behind the scenes Dead Factory tonight, you know, and it's just like, so just those little moments that we have with the customers, you know, we try to do anything that we can to give them a unique experience.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the wedding group that you mentioned? Because that sounds amazing and fun and full of promise.
we followed them around. We said that I can't remember what her name was, you know, and we just kind of had each actor was, you know, oh, you sure you want to get married? You know, so each line was kind of changed a little bit for that group. Because some people knew her and, you know, they probably been drinking a little bit, but they were safe. And we made sure that they were safe. And I think they had maybe the hats and stuff on and just what normal, you know, normal wedding people do. And just try to tailor because we have walkies. So we'll let everybody know, hey, you know, Barbie's coming through and she's getting ready. You know, she's getting married. And then you'll hear a bunch of actors pop up. Oh, we got a married one coming through here. You know, then they all start. And of course, you know, no one likes their name mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were almost thinking about doing maybe a different color necklace for special guests like that. Like, you know, you have a birthday or, you know, wedding or whatever, welcome home party or something for groups. And then have like a red necklace instead of a green one, and they get a little extra attention or whatever. Always trying to find unique ways to incorporate stuff like that.
On that note, and on the note of some of the things you've mentioned, I know it's very difficult to saying it's difficult. I think to run a haunt is probably an understatement, but if you could put it into what do you feel is the biggest challenge for you this year? So like, all of these things that are going on and all the prep work that we're doing and everything that we're running around trying to get ready for the season, what do you think is the biggest challenge for you in preparing for this year's event?
I think it's probably managing everybody. Placements, costumes, where it's never easy. I mean, it's never really 100% perfect the first time. Run-throughs, you know, so that is try to make sure the talent goes where the talent. Try to give my veteran actors placements with main roles and then having other actors as secondary roles and then just trying to move everybody around. We have the people. We just need – some people may move between the seasons. Some people, you know, I may realize that they're not as outgoing as this character needs to be. Well, then I'll move them over to maybe a, like a behind a puppet or, doing something as a silent role or something. So you never know the whole not knowing part of where everybody's going to go and how it's going to, you know, we have our main roles picked out, but I just want to make sure everybody that is there is utilized the best that they can. So I think it's the managing the people.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a very short commercial break.
My name is Matt Shenandoah. I'm the creative director for the Haunted Fort at Fort Abraham Lincoln State Park in Mandan, North Dakota. In our past season, we used the color piano in the Custer House. And the reason we used that is we were trying to find ways to put more lighting effects into the Custer House with limited conventional 110 outlets. So by using color piano and integrating it into a 12-volt low voltage system, we were able to create numerous effects through the entire Custer Mansion for Haunted Fort, and it was very, very successful. We chose the color piano system because of its built-in memory that we can create a small lighting show with different colors as well as different effects. And that was great for our haunt, being that it was modular. We don't have very large lighting effect systems in place. The color panel allowed us to create lighting effects with minimal infrastructure.
Okay, Brian, now I want to talk a little bit more about you. So I want to know, when did you first self-identify as being a haunter? You know, like how, when did you first realize that like being a haunter was a thing, like the word haunter was a thing, and you consider yourself a haunter?
As the term haunter, I really didn't understand the term haunter till probably about 15 years ago. That's when I really understood that there was like an industry of people that scared other people. So it was like, what? I mean, I've been to haunted houses before, but I didn't know anything about putting them together or the workings behind them. But we always loved Halloween. We'd always scare people in our front yards. You know, we had lived in a second story house growing up, so we'd have the dummy on a rope because there was a window right above the stairs. You know, we were always scaring people. But until my brother asked me to help build an act at the house was probably about 30 minutes from here. But, you know, I did that a few weekends a month when they were open. And so technically 15 years.
And over those 15 years and over the time you've been doing Dead Factory, how do you think that being a haunter has changed you?
Well, you know, you live in a silo for a while and you think you're the only person that's doing it. And then you reach out to a community of people that are, you know, they know everything, but they know a lot more than you do. So starting out to realize how this community is kind of, you know, hey, I'll show you how to do that. Here, this is what you do. And people send you stuff and videos. And you're like, the community part of it is big for me. And you kind of realize that there are people out there that are kind of weird like you are. So I'm like, yes, found my tribe, you know.
What would you say to somebody who is just getting started in the industry?
Plan and research. Before you even start, you know, I've had people come to me and say, hey, you know, I got 6 months to, start this haunt. I'm like, well, maybe you can do it next year. You know, you need to, there's a lot of things that go into it. So do your planning, work at a haunted attraction for a little bit to see what one's all about, see how they run things. You know, maybe you can pick up some ideas and tips from them. And maybe they'll, you know, if they're a good person, they'll want to co-op with you or help you start your own or something like that. If you're willing to, you know, move up the ranks and just start doing things, practice, whether that's in your garage or it's a display out front, learn how to do things. Yes, you can buy stuff. I mean, you don't really need the experience to design and make things, but doing so will save you a lot of time or a lot of money. Not so much time because it takes longer to do stuff, but you also work on scaring people. Like I did a home haunt through my garage for four years, and that really showed me some scare techniques that I could use. And then just practice with that. But start, because starting is probably the best way to learn, whether you're helping out a haunted attraction or you just start building stuff in your garage or you just start researching. Just started in something.
And what do you think people should ignore? Like, what do you ever hear anything in the industry advice that you think people should ignore?
Well, there's that whole scare actors versus animatronics debate. Animatronics are good. I mean, they are. I like them just like everybody else does. You know, they should probably be used as distractions and not scares. But if you have your room set up right, you can use an animatronic as a scare. You just gotta, they're fun to look at, but I believe it's using scare actors before animatronics kind of gives you, I don't know, a different feeling in your house. You know, the mix of both is just about right. I'm not sure what that is yet because I only have one animatronic in my house. So working on two, we're We're doing a crocodile in the swamp this year. So we'll see how that turns out. Chris Long out there, he's our tech guy. But we add them slowly, you know, just for, hey, you know what would be cool here? Animated crocodile. All right.
Well, on the topic of potentially expensive animatronics, what purchase of $200 or less has most positively impacted your haunt?
$200 or less with the most impact, I would say our walkie-talkies, because that allowed us to communicate with each other. It saved a customer in a hallway because we had walkie-talkies. And, if you have no communication within your haunt, you're kind of going in blind. So, yeah, they're not expensive. And you can buy a whole, like a 12 walkie-talkie with a charging station for like $200. So,
yeah, I like that. Communication, you know, getting that communication is worth the $200.
Yeah.
Without a price limit on this, and doesn't necessarily have to be a thing, but what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments that you've ever made with your haunt?
I would probably say the first year of starting everything, I didn't have a building. Eric Smith, we've known each other since high school. He came to me and said, hey, I have this building. I'll give you the money the first year and you get to keep the building up inside. We broke even our second year. So just being in the investing in Eric, investing in the building, investing in the whole first year set up and taking that risk, that was probably the best investment that we've made.
How did it make you feel that year when you broke even? Do you remember how you felt?
Relieved. So, you know, going in with a partner you don't know. I mean, they have expectations too. You have expectations. Eric's a business guy, not so much the creative eye. So trying to make him see my vision was, not say a challenge, but until it's complete, you really don't ever know what it's going to be. So having that over your head the first year, trying to think, man, I hope people show up, you know, is this, cross your fingers, you know, you do the most, you know, you do the guerrilla marketing and the, okay, where are we going to spend this at, in Facebook or radio or a banner or whatever, billboards, or so you're like, okay, let's just stick it to the wall or throw it to the wall and see what sticks. So yeah, relieved that, you know, year two, we were like, okay, our attendance is maintaining. We're on track. But yeah, it's definitely a journey.
And on that journey, do you have a favorite failure or something that later set you up for success? Like a failure that later set you up for success or a favorite failure?
Yeah, our first 2 years, we tried like zombie paintball. It was just like on an old, we had a trailer hooked up to a four-wheeler, you know, it held maybe like 6 to 8 people. And just doing a zombie paintball. And we tried to do like a little kid attraction. Like we were trying to focus on too much the first couple of years. So we'd like got rid of all that, completely focused on the Dead Factory itself. And we'll have like food vendors out there. We have a fire guy that's outside juggling some nights. We plan on adding a second attraction. So I think to minimize things, you have to grow, but we don't want to have too much going on. So, and then we start. So I guess cut your loss or cut your things that don't work and focus on the things that do work.
That's great. Yeah. It's kind of like you have to start with something incredible and kind of build from there.
Right.
So, you mentioned the risk that comes into this and that this has been kind of like a 15-year endeavor, and some of the stuff that you didn't mention, but
I know we both talked about is how busy it gets and how crazy it is and kind of like all consuming.
Yep.
There's just a lot. So I'm wondering why are you still doing this? Like kind of like 15 years later and you're still like going through the paces of it. What keeps you going?
Besides being the passion, to me, haunting is, it's a little mix of theater, horror, acting, being creative, design. I know there's a few more in there, but I know there's, it's kind of a big ball of all my stuff growing up. You know, I was into comic books and video games and the nerdism of the 80s. So this is kind of part of everything that I've done. You know, so when I hit the haunt industry, I was like, what? This is great. There's special effects stuff over here and how to make a mask and how to build a set. Those blood and guts, you know, it was like, I'm home. So I forgot what your question was, but yeah, that's where I was going with that.
Kind of like, what? Why do you do it? And it sounds like you do it because it's like that perfect intersection of everything that you enjoyed doing when you were growing up.
Right. Yep. That's it. You said it, Phil.
That's okay. Got it. I'm listening. Okay, we're right about at the end here. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on. Thanks for everything Haunted Attractions Network does. All the collecting of articles and sharing the podcast, having the Dead Factor on. I still use your article from, was it the Haunt Journal?
Yeah.
Or the photos anyway, and post that on my Facebook for social proof and saying, hey, look, someone else likes the Dead Factory.
So. Nice. Oh, I'm glad it's been helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So other haunters out there, if you hear this podcast or any of the other haunts podcasts or see their article, make sure to share that stuff.
Yes. Sharing in the industry, it helps kind of reduce that feeling of being siloed that you mentioned earlier. Because I think that happens a lot because you're in your own little world, literally, in a world working on creating it, you know, and you feel kind of detached from the support that's out there.
Yes, and we all need to raise each other up because the industry will be better and stronger if we do.
And right here at the end, Brian, can you share where someone can find details about Dead Factory?
You can find us anywhere on, just go to Google, deadfactory.com. We are really active on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to buy tickets, there's a get tickets button there on deadfactory.com. Or come out and see us at 2100 East Liberty in Mexico, Missouri from October 4th to November 2nd. Every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 11 p.m.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you like this episode, please consider giving us a review wherever you're listening to this. And are you interested in being on the show? Or do you know someone who should be on the show? Well, drop me a line at hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.